Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Diane B. I am a recovered compulsive eater in New York. Very grateful today. Today is Tuesday, February 7th, 2023. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We're on page 59, reading steps 7 and 8. Today's readers are 12 Steps, Joanne L., 12 Traditions, Rhonda R., the text is Yvonne A., page 164 is Shelley E., our backup reader today is Penny L.C., newcomer greeter Loretta M., announcements Reggie O. Thank you, everyone, for your service. The reference numbers from yesterday, February 6, 2023, the 10 a.m. meeting was 19,934. 19934. And this morning's meeting, Tuesday, February 7th, 2023, at 7 a.m., was 19936. That's 19936. Okay, Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Here are the steps we took, which is suggested as a program of recovery. Joanne L., will you please read the steps for us?
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning, Diane, and thank you for your service. And I should say, good morning, world. My name is Joanne L., and I am from Rhode Island, and I am recovered in Rhode Island. The 12 steps of Overeaters Anonymous. 1, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. 2, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. 3, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. 4, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. 5, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. 6, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. 7, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. In 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for letting me do service, and I pass.
Whoops, thank you. And Rhonda R., will you please read us the tradition?
Sure, thank you for your service, Diane. Good morning, everyone. This is Rhonda R., a grateful member in Georgia. The 12 traditions. 1, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3, the only requirement for OA membership is desire to stop eating compulsively. 4, Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. 12. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the chance to do service, and with that, I'll pass.
Thank you, Rhonda. Okay, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Today, we're just reading two steps. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass. Then press star 1 to mute your phone. To have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and we request that you do not use the speaker function, as that creates background noise. Today we resume our study of the Big Book. We are on page 59, and we're reading steps 7 and 8. So will Yvonne A. please get us started?
Good morning, everyone. This is Yvonne A., recovered compulsive overeater in BC, Canada. Step 7, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. And 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. So step 7 for me is a step that I carry out at least twice a day. I say the 7-step prayer. And I'm asking God throughout the day, oh, please remove this character defect as they pop up. But I have to be a willing participant in that. I have to take action. So I can ask, but I don't have the luxury of just leaning back and waiting for God to do all the work. No, this is work for me too. But it is amazing how the defects are lifted. When I first started doing, 10 steps and my nightly reviews, one of my character defects that would come up on a regular basis was judgment and superiority and thinking I was better than other people. And I would have that feeling regularly, like almost every single day. And so I really, concentrated on asking God, please remove this character defect of judgment and superiority from me. And it wasn't anything that I recognized or, as happening at a specific point in time. But a few weeks went by and I realized I had not written down that character defect in a 10th step or in my nightly review. And so it just happens when you are ready, when you are willing, and when you have humbly asked that that be removed. And so step 8, we all just can't imagine having to do. I thought, maybe I'll just break my abstinence when I get back, get to step eight and I won't have to do it. What I found out was step eight actually isn't that scary. All I have to do is make a list of the people that I've harmed, and become willing to make amends to them. The actual amends I don't have to worry about until step nine. So I was able to use my step four work that I had done as the starting point to go through all of those people. And yeah, there were ones on there that were scarier than other ones. But those aren't the ones that I was going to address first. But the big thing for me in step eight was becoming willing to make amends to them all. I was willing on 95% of them to make amends. But there was one that was a real sticking point for me. And I really had to do a lot of prayer, a lot of saying the resentment prayer. Somebody that I reached out to on a telephone call said, you know, you're not going to be ready or willing to make amends to that person until you've been able to set aside the resentment. And that is very true. I still actually have
gentle
that
reminder.
Thank you, that I haven't made amends to, but I'm willing now. I am willing, and I've found the willingness. And with that, I pass.
Thanks, Yvonne. Thank you for getting us started this morning. Okay, I'm going to be taking names of people. I need your first name, initial of your last name, and your state, please. However, although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you have not shared since last Thursday, then I am happy to take your name and your initial. So I want to unmute, please.
Bonnie B. from Minnesota.
Bonnie B.
Donna B.
Donna B.
Debbie.
Penny L.C.
All right, Penny L.C., and there was somebody else with you.
Deb E.
Okay.
Thanks.
Kathleen O.
Kathleen O. Anyone else?
Robin P.
Okay, Robin P. Great startup. A great starting lineup. Oh, God, I can't talk. Okay, so I've got Bonnie B., Donna B., Penny L.C., Deb E., Kathleen O., Robin P. And when you share, please give us your state. So Bonnie B., star one to unmute.
Good morning. I'll start my timer. Bonnie B., grateful I recovered today in the state of Minnesota. I just love these steps. I love the fact that every single step builds on another step. You know, step eight for me, or step seven for me, humbly asked him to remove my shortcomings. This to me was really, it wasn't tangible until someone gave me a tool. And the tool they gave me was, look at step five, look at the things that present them all, the things that present themselves all the time. And then those are the shortcomings. And then the encouragement was, write down the definition of that shortcoming. So, you know, the opening speaker tossed out judgment, and that was one of mine. I went to Webster's. I wrote down that definition, and then I had something tangible. I also wrote down the synonyms for that word because it showed me how else it presents itself sometimes. And then I looked up the opposites. And so when I pray out that seven-step step, I do say, God, please remove from me every single defect of character. And I will say, please remove from me the character defect of judgment, and please replace it with. And I'll ask him to replace it with what was in that antonym column. It gave me something to speak out. Now, for me, with all of these steps, every single step, all of it requires that I pray first. Because I have to ask God to show me, and then I have to have the willingness to see, and then I have the willingness to do it. So that step seven leads into step eight, which is just, again, making a list. It's just a list, and the list is nothing other than a list. God's going to step in. He's going to show me exactly what I need to do with each one of those and his timing, and what's required of me, again, the willingness. The willingness. And so these steps build on each other, and every single one draws from the one previous to it, And I didn't understand that when I first came in, but I so get it now. You have to have the one before it to know what you're to do next. And then the willingness, which requires that we surrender it all to God again. It's beautiful. They're amazing steps. And so with that, I'll pass. And thank you so much.
Thank you, Bonnie. Now we have Donna B.
Good morning. This is Donna B., a recovered compulsive overeater and bulimic, calling from Denver, Colorado. I'd like to comment specifically on step 8. Made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. And as I heard others share, you know, step 8 really is distinct from step 9. It's its own step. This is when I looked through my fourth step and took a good look at the resentments I had to make a list of the people I had harmed. I also added to the list people I may have harmed that were not on my fourth step. And the process of creating the list is a humbling experience to really set back and think about, who did I hurt? What damage did I cause? Where have I been that tornado whirling through the lives of others and causing damage? And I think as a compulsive overeater, that's really hard for me to do, because the story that I have told myself my whole life is about the he and the she and the they that hurt me, cause that they harm me, and, you know, then the obsession with my weight and with the food, and that really consumes me to the point where the challenges or the struggles that I faced in my life were like a broken record playing over and over and over again. And it was always about weight, and it was always about a diet, and it was always about food, and it was always about, and that in a strange way protected or insulated me from really looking at the world around me, really looking at my part in the relationships that I was in. So I'm just so grateful that in working the steps, there are many opportunities to take that sacred pause and reflect. And I think of step 8 as a reflection step. And it, with these last few seconds that I have, I also just want to emphasize how important it is to work with a sponsor to help differentiate where I have in fact caused harm versus places where I have not caused harm. And sometimes being able to differentiate the true from the false requires outside help. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Donna. Penny LC, your turn.
Thank you, Diane, for your service, and good morning. Good morning to everyone on the line. This is Penny LC, a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. And reflecting on the steps, I know that each step has its action that I need to be willing to take. And so with step 7, I need to ask. And in that asking, you know, I have to be sure that I have the openness to my higher power, to allow my higher power to be in charge of shaping me and removing my character defects in my higher power's timing. And this has helped me over the years, that I know I've observed some character defects being removed, some lessening, and some still cropping up. And I've come to the place where I can just look at those that still crop up and say, okay, what is that here to teach me? And that's helped me to accept it. Not that I'm going to settle for that. I'm still going to ask that it be removed, but at least to acknowledge it and know that it's there to let me know something about myself that's going on. And so with the seventh step prayer, you know, that's really the only thing I need to be actively doing is to say that prayer. But I can say that prayer daily, and I do, because, you know, my Creator does need to be, to know that I am willing, that I'm willing to surrender all of me, the good and the bad, and to have those defects of character removed for the purpose, not for my, you know, shining star self to be coming, you know, in the limelight, but to be able to be useful to others and to myself. And then to ask for the strength to go forward and to do that, whatever service of usefulness is out there for me, to do in that moment. And then, of course, the spiritual principle, step 7, humility. You know, knowing that I am no better and no worse than anyone else. And that gets me a chance to balance my ego. And then for step 8, my action is to make a list. That's all that's being asked of me. And in doing so, I just need to do the unspoken prayer of being willing.
Gentle reminder.
Being willing, thank you, to take that action to prepare my mind and spirit. And remember that I pledged to go to any length, and so that's what I need to do to have that list made and to have the self-discipline to balance that resistance and following the program outlined and doing the most loving thing to clean up my path. Thank you for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Penny LC. Next, we have Deb E. And if you could give us your state, please.
Hi, this is Deb E., recovered compulsive overeater in Israel. And I just keep like going back to step 7. I was trying to decide between step 7 and 8. Not that I have to decide, but like I'm really drawn to step 7 today. And I like looking at the definitions of words, like a lot of people in this meeting. And what I found for shortcomings, the definition I liked is an imperfection or lack that detracts from the whole. And for me, that's a good reminder of how when I'm, you know, when my character defects get the better of me, I can't also be like in the sunlight of spirit. I can't be as useful. And like it says in the seventh step prayer, that's already been referenced, right? In that prayer, I'm praying to be, that they be removed so I can be as useful as I can to do my higher power's will and be useful to others. And humbly makes me think of how I need enough humility to understand that I can't do this on my own, and that I need, you know, I need that amount of humility to be able to ask for that help from my higher power. It's, you know, it's not going to happen on my own by myself. It's only going to happen when I turn this stuff over and understand that I can't do it myself. The only one who can really, truly help me with this is my higher power. And so I need to ask. You know, I have one of my patterns is I want to expect everyone to know what I need. And this program's really taught me how to ask for help. It's been really hard. You know, it's already hard to ask for help. And then when I also add this like attitude I'll get sometimes where like, I shouldn't have to ask, you know, that's changed a lot over the years. I don't feel as strongly about that way anymore, but just asking for help and how the help comes when I ask for it. And there was something else about shortcomings, but I'm not finding it now. So I will pass with that. Thank you.
Thank you, Deb. Next is Kathleen O.
Good morning. This is Kathleen O, compulsive overeater in Northern California. Great to be on the line with everyone, and thanks all of you for your shares. You know, these steps, particularly where we are now, what I basically learned was I don't have to be right anymore. You know, when I was looking at who I had harmed prior to doing the steps, I always thought I was right and everybody else was wrong. And I did harm people with that attitude. And one person I harmed was my husband's ex-wife. And I was not kind to her. And I wasn't mean to her, but I didn't have anything nice to say about her. And I thought she was totally wrong because my husband thought she was totally wrong. And it's so great to do these steps and see that, you know, we always have a part in everything. And when I was, you know, making my list, I thought, I haven't seen her in forever. I don't know how I'm going to make amends to this woman. And I was told all I had to do was be willing to be willing, because I thought originally I'm not going to do this one. And so I thought, okay, I'm willing to be willing. I'm placing everything in my higher power's hands and trusting that, you know, that power is going to guide me. And it was really amazing because I didn't want to do it, but I was willing. And so my stepdaughter got married, and of course we're all at the wedding at the same time. And it was really cold. They were taking pictures. It was in Tahoe in December, and they were taking pictures outside. And so when I was done, I went inside, and I was standing by this fireplace, and who walks up but, you know, the ex-wife. And I thought, okay, well, is this God giving me not just a nudge, but a shove? And I knew what I was going to say to her if I ever, you know, if it was ever going to happen. And I just kept it really simple. And I tell you, this takes so much weight off your shoulders, making these amends. And the bottom line really is learning, I don't have to be right anymore. I don't get in that kind of trouble anymore because, you know, I don't have to be right. It's not like people are wrong and I'm right. It's, we're all on our path, our journey, and I just have to love and support and mind my own business, keep my eyes on my own place, so to speak. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Kathleen. Next, we have Robin P. Star one, Robin.
Oh, hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Loud and clear.
Oh, good. Thank you. Sorry. Hi, I'm Robin P. I'm a very grateful recovered compulsive overeater in Costa Rica. And thanks so much for your service, Diane.
We lost you, Robin.
Oh, my goodness.
There you go.
Okay, sorry. I used to be afraid of that prayer because I thought, oh, no, if you remove every defect of character that stands in the way of my usefulness to you, my fellows, you know, I'm going to have a hard day. And now I welcome that prayer, and because I want to be useful to God and my fellows. And regarding the eighth step, it really helped me that when I went through the steps that my sponsor said, eight is just making the list. Don't project into nine. You're literally just making the list. You're not making amends in step eight. And that was so helpful to me because I was projecting negatively, as sometimes we do, and I was imagining the worst. And so it was just really helpful for me to just do an honest appraisal. And I love that I can walk on any street anywhere in the world, and I don't have to cross the street for anybody today. I thank you, God. I am free, you know. I came from so much child abuse, and it was one of those survival childhoods. And I am really close with my parents today, and that's a result of these steps. That's the gift of these relationships because of these steps. And I'm just eternally grateful for this program. It's literally a completely different life than the one I went from hell to a life that is just beyond my wildest dreams. So thank you all. God bless you all with a very abstinent blessed day. Thank you.
Thanks, Robin. Okay, I could take more people. And again, although we Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might share their experience too. So if you have not shared since Thursday, I'm happy to take your name.
Renee.
I'm Kristen from New Mexico.
Okay, I have Renee, and I think it was Kristen from New Mexico.
You got it.
Thank you. And who is after Kristen? So I want to unmute.
Danielle J.
Danielle J, gotcha.
CT from Newport Beach.
I'm sorry, who was that from Newport Beach?
CT, I use my initials, CT.
C. Cat Thomas, CT?
Correct, yes.
Okay, and Newport Beach is Rhode Island?
California, sorry.
Oh, okay, thank you. Okay, we can take one or two more.
Chris S. from Washington.
Chris S. Okay, great. So let's do that. We have Renee, Kristen, Danielle, J, CT from California, and Chris S. from Washington. So Renee, star one to unmute, please.
Okay. Hi, I'm Renee. I'm a compulsive overeater, and thank you, everyone, for making this meeting happen. I'm from Arizona. I have a little step eight tale. Step eight is the reason I got into the vision methodology of working my program. I had been in another faction of OA and had been abstinent for 3 years and not working the steps, very miserable, very suicidal, I knew because I've been around for a long time, I knew that I needed to work the steps and cultivate a connection to God. I knew that. The step eight piece was that I had a friend who had been a friend for over 40 years. Her son was my godson. It was kind of a family of choice situation. And I decided I would destroy that. I would drop her as a friend because I didn't like, she wasn't giving me what I thought I needed. And so I did it over the course of about 4 years. I just kind of dropped out, stopped calling, and just destroyed the friendship. And toward the end, I decided this was a big mistake. I'd been doing this for 4 years, big mistake. And I needed to see if I could turn it around. And that's what got me. I knew it was a step eight, totally a step eight situation. I had harmed this person, and what do I do now? I needed some help. And that got me into the vision methodology of working the steps. I started doing that. As soon as I got to step eight, put her on my step eight list. As soon as I got to step nine, made an amends. And God blessed me. God gave me an old friend that was much, much wiser than me. She forgave me. It was out of her mind. We picked up where we had been, and all is well. And it was just the most magical thing I have ever experienced in my life, just to have it turn around so beautifully. It was truly a gift from God, and that's my little step eight tale. I also want to touch on step seven because there was a time period when it seemed like everyone in my meetings was doing the third step prayer, and I was in love with the seventh step prayer. And so when I started my program, I used the seventh step prayer as part of my morning routine. And even though I wasn't at that step at that time, so it's one of my favorite prayers and one of my favorite steps. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Renee. Kristen, you're up. And what is the initial of your last name, please, Kristen?
Hi, my initial is C. Kristen C. Can you hear me?
Yes, go right ahead. Sorry.
Okay. That's okay. Just checking. I'm Kristen C. I'm a very grateful member of Overeaters Anonymous and a compulsive eater. I'm actually doing my steps again. So I've done them a few times. I've been in program for a while. And I just completed step one. But I have done steps 6, 7, and 8 in the past. And what's interesting for me is that the first go around with my steps, I thought step 4 was really hard and step 5 was pretty humbling. But now I feel that steps 6 and 7 are kind of the hardest. I have to hang out in them for a while for my character defects to be revealed. I first have to become aware of them, which is painful, to become aware of character issues that need to be corrected by my higher power. And so again, it's just it's a big dose of humility, which is a good thing, but it feels kind of crummy at the time. And then I have to be patient and just hang out in step 7 until the character issue is transformed. And I have to be honest, I still have character issues that hang on pretty tight and rear their ugly heads now and then under duress. And then I'm disappointed that it's still there. But if I feel disappointed that it's still there, that's an indication that I'm in pride. Because I'm human. Of course, it's still going to be there. I'm human. I'm going to have flaws. So then I've got to get into my humility again by staying in conscious contact with my higher power. That's really the only way I gain any humility at all, because I am a very prideful person. And then as far as step 8 goes, I freaked out on step 8 the first couple of times I took it. Because I felt like such a horrible person who just owes the whole world an amends because I'm just, you know, a piece of crud. And I learned from doing step 8, because it is just a list, is that I don't carry out the amends until I check it out with my other fellows or my sponsor or someone who's been in program a little longer than me and has more experience than I do. And I learned that even though there were certain amends I had on my list, I didn't actually owe them. That was just me feeling guilty. Thank you. That was just me feeling guilty or ashamed. But that doesn't necessarily mean I owe an amends. I did owe amends, but I didn't owe all the amends that I thought I owed. And of course, I ended up being on my own amends list. So still in a living amends to myself through self-care. Thank you for letting me share.
Thanks, Kristen. Danielle J., if you could give us your state too, please.
Hi, thank you, Danielle J. From Washington State. Thanks very much for your service. And I'm usually on the end of the 4 and the 5, but series of events, here I am, and I'm really glad to be here, so thanks very much. So regards to step 7, I just had an experience, you know, asking God to remove, and people have been talking about how, you know, it's up to me as well, and I think that's the difference today. I think before I wouldn't have even known, I would have been defensive, I would have, you know, but yesterday, I had to sit down and listen that a lot, some of the character defects that I thought were gone were not gone. And being up and down and mood swings. And my husband just said, you know, I this is too much for me to handle. You know, I'm too old for this. I'm not, you know. And again, series of unfortunate events, but it doesn't matter. If I need to change something, If my, you know, if what I was doing before for my program, I'm not able to do now, then I got to do something else. So that's what brings me here, and it's hard, you know. I mean, it's not fun to be called out. It's not fun to be, you know, it's a little bit humiliating, is a little bit all that stuff. But to sit in it and to go, okay, and to have that contact with God enough that I can be humble enough to be there and to listen and to go, okay, what do I need to change? You know, what do I need to do differently so that I can show up in a way that that pleases, obviously, the Spirit and is amicable to the people around me and is different than I was before. So thanks again for being a part of that. And I wasn't talking to you. I wasn't talking to you.
Thanks, Danielle. Next, we have CT from California.
Hi, my name is CT. My last name is T. I'm from Newport Beach, California. I haven't shared on this meeting in a while. I just finished doing step 7 with my sponsor. I've been in several programs for quite some time. And I decided to share when I heard someone, you know how sometimes a share will move you to share. And it's hard to do step 8 with, for me to share about it without doing some of step 9. And to do step 8, I have to realize that I've done a lot of work before I've done step 8 in the step work. And I had to be willing to look at my character defects and then let a God of my understanding, which I call Judy, let Judy have them. And so that when the freedom came from that, I was able to look at step 8. And as I said earlier in the beginning, I thought it was just a list. And I thought, oh, it's no big deal. It's just a list. But then as I reread the steps, step 8 is about forgiveness. And it, first of all, if I can't forgive myself, like how can I give away what I don't have? I had to learn about forgiveness, that I'm just human and I made mistakes and my disease caused me to make choices that hurt other people. And so when I was making that list, I was in a lot of fear in the very beginning. It took me about 12 years to clear off my first amends list. And then subsequent ones, they seem to be much easier and much quicker because I know the freedom that comes from continuing on the steps. And the winners are the people. I learned this just early. I mean, just recently, someone said the winners are the people who keep going after the miracle. And I had gotten some many miracles, so I just kept going. And one of the things that sparked me in the share was I was at my mom's wedding, and I had needed to make an amends to a friend of hers that had hired me, and I just couldn't go anymore, and I just stopped showing up. And she didn't have the wedding, and I was like, do I do it at the wedding when it's, you know, it's supposed to be a celebration of blah, 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 and all this stuff in my head, you know, me trying to figure out a way to not do it. And so I talked to my sponsor, and by the time I finished with her, and she was very kind about it, that couple had left. And so I missed the opportunity to make an amends in person, because when I went to make the amends, I had to do it in writing. They just didn't make time for me to come and see them. And so I don't know if that's God's will or my will or a lesson or what, but I think that I've forgiven myself for not being able to do that in person. And I hope they have forgiven me. I never heard back from them. But I continue to go forward and trust Judy. And that's all I have. And I'll pass. Thanks.
Thanks, CT. Chris S. from Washington, your turn. Star one to unmute, Chris.
Very good. Chris from Washington. This is my first time sharing at the meeting, and I'm so grateful for it as my work hours have changed. And, you know, yesterday I made a list of those different character defects that I felt I had and what their payoff was. And today, you know, when I look at seven, humbly asked him to remove those shortcomings. You know, first of all, I have to be humble. And second of all, I have to ask God, because I will always slip back into those survival things that kept me going that aren't keeping me going any longer. And someone shared about, I don't have to be right. I don't have to be, and for myself, I don't have to be perfect. And which means I can stop blaming others for things that have happened, or be judgmental, or just being ornery. And for me, it's I need to surrender, and I need to surrender to God's care and His direction. And in step eight, made a list of those people we have harmed. Well, I've been through the steps many times, and now I just try to do that step 10 whenever, wherever the need arises. So thank you for being here. Thank you for your shares. With that, I pass.
Thank you, Chris. I think we have time for one more very quick share. Would somebody like to jump in?
This is Lee. I'd like to share from New Mexico.
Okay, you got like,
you.
Yep. 1.5 minutes, maybe?
Yeah, that's fine. I just wanted to kind of check in real quick, and the reading and the shares were just perfect this morning for what I needed to hear. And I remember my first time, my first go around with the steps, I came up cold. I mean, I like stopped cold at 8. I did. It was like a brick wall. And I had to start over again because I realized I missed something in my fourth step, because I had like zero willingness, like negative willingness to do anything, even make the list, you know? And that just reminded me of that. I was like, and sometimes it takes what it takes, and sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly, as they say. So for me, it was a little slow, but I got there and I got through it and went on to work the rest of the steps a few times. So I'm very grateful. So that just kind of reminded me, and I just wanted to check in and share that. And thanks for letting me share. And again, this is Lee in New Mexico. Thank you.
Thanks, Lee. All right. That's about it for time. Thank you, everyone who shared. Thank you, everyone who does service. So we're now going to close the meeting with the reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. And will Shelley E. please read page 164, Vision for You. Our book is meant to be suggestive only.
Good morning. I'm Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. Page 164, the Big Book. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you for letting me do service, and I